Praise God. The Lord's good, isn't he? I've just had something on my heart, and you know, I had the thought there this morning. It talks about when you come together, each one of you has something. It may be a song, a hymn, or something, but, you know, the Lord wants us to be free to give out whatever we've got in whatever capacity he's called us to, you know. And it's tough for me to get out and give out what I have sometimes because I feel intimidated to speak, you know. But the Lord don't need our strength. He just needs us to yield to him. And the thought I had this morning, I've had for the past week, is just how much we need the Lord. We need him in every single thing that we do. It doesn't matter if it's during our day, and also particularly, you know, in our services too when we come here. And I guess one of the reasons why I thought about this is we've got possibly a meeting coming up in June. But, you know, the need to be led of the Lord is just important in every single service that we have. Today is important. The Lord still speaks, and he even said today if you'll hear his voice. So the Lord has a way of speaking to us today, what we need to hear right where we're at, and right exactly what we need. And, you know, this is, I guess, the theme of it. You know, when the Lord spoke to the churches in Revelation, none of those churches had a one-man ministry, nor were they in a place to where God told them to seek that out and or to get a better speaker or this or that or more music or whatever. He basically spoke to everybody's heart, everyone's heart. And that was the, here's the other thought. You know, every one of those churches were established by Jesus Christ. He's established this one. He said, upon this rock, he would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So whenever the Lord does something or is in the process of doing something, it is sure that he's going to complete that task. And that means the church here, the body here, and I think about the assemblies that we're connected with in the different churches. I think it's important to remember this, that when the Lord wrote to those churches, and quite honestly, he gave quite a few of them a little bit of rebuke, did he not? But he loves us. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And even when we go astray, when a sheep goes astray, the shepherd does not stop being the shepherd, nor does the sheep stop being the sheep. It's simply that the shepherd goes after the sheep, right? Sometimes the shepherd has to correct the sheep. We all stand in need of correction. Obviously, if we didn't need the Lord, we could do just fine without him, but we can't. We need Jesus. We need Jesus every day. We need him in each service. We need him. We need him for the future of the church and the assemblies, even that we're connected to. Because you know, you look at times it's almost discouraging to see different assemblies decreasing to where there's almost nobody there. I tell you what, it's sometimes the Lord pushes a pause button. He's done it in Earth's history and in the church's history, but usually when the Lord pushes a pause button, it's to get people's attention. I'm talking about his people. Because a lot of times the world will never see or understand or yield to who God is. But even if you look at Noah, I tell you, the Lord sure pushed the pause button when he gave him the instruction for that ark. He gave him dimensions and everything. And when I say pause, things ceased to be what they were once that started. There was a different way of life, right? And Noah, he fulfilled his purpose until the time he died. But a big portion of it is what we read about and what the Lord called him to. But even Jeremiah, when he called Jeremiah, you remember he told him, he said, look, don't listen to the people that tell you you're too young to talk. What I want you to do is tell everything, you tell them everything I say, because not only am I going to talk or tell you what to say, I'm also going to act. God speaks and acts, right? He's still doing the same thing, and a lot of times the world's going along like everything's all right. But I'll tell you what, the supernatural workings and happenings of God are unseen by this world, but they are happening. Yes. Things are going on. And, you know, even in Jeremiah's day, you know that he actually talked to Judah for 40 years? I didn't know that, but he actually spoke off and on to the tribe, Judah, the kings, and everything for 40 years. So his calling, when Jeremiah started, he did that for 40 years, but he was faithful to do what God called him to do. But, you know, from the time he called him, in some ways, there was a pause. Because even for Israel and Judah, things had ceased to exist the way they were going to be. And the people that were doing what they were doing, which was wrong and coming against God, God said, okay, I'm going to put an end to it. I'm going to stop it. But you know what? The one thing about God is he never does something like that, even when it comes to judgment, without warning people and talking to people. And you know what? And wooing people to himself. You read in Jeremiah and Isaiah and some of those, amidst all the judgment and the impending doom, God was saying, come back to me. It didn't matter how far they'd gone. God would say, look, come back to me. I want to get your attention. And I was thinking about the church today, because in different generations there's different things going on. But always within the heart of man is the propensity for evil and to walk away from God. And God would get their attention and say, whoop, stop. Listen to what I'm telling you right now. I want to get your attention. And it's not so that you will obey all my commands. I want you to know how much I love you. I want to talk to you, and I want you to talk to me. I want you to pour your heart out to me. But Stephen just said, it don't matter where you've been or what you've done. That's the thing. Do you know that you could be in the worst state possible and falling down mightily upon your face, and you realize, oh, God, I've messed up. God receives you right where you are. If you would just say, God, help me, that's what he's listening for. God, help me. That's the cry of the most mature Christian and the one who has just fallen on his face. It's still, God, help me. We need your direction. And the thought I had coming into the service is, you know, it's funny. You know, it's not funny. But when you hear someone say, we need the Lord, really what it means is, really, we can't do anything without Jesus. And it's never enough to have all your doctrine right and then just say, okay, I'm going to walk in it. God, we got it. That is never the purpose for the Lord establishing the church. He produces and establishes the church and brings members together and makes what is called a body. And those individual members yield themselves to Christ. And Christ exhibits, or he speaks through that body. He doesn't just speak, he acts through that body of people. It's people yielded to him, looking to him, knowing that they need him and they can do nothing without him. That's what it is. It's people being simply yielded to God. And that's what God seeks to do when man goes astray. And a lot of times you see it like in the history of Israel and Judah and all that. The Lord will still reach out to his people. And you know what? He's still reaching out today. He's still reaching out today. But I thought about all those churches. You know, the Lord did, he did rebuke them. You know, he encouraged them. He encouraged them in what they did. But none of those people, could you say, was exactly like a lot of the modern church world that you see today. It was made up of a group of people. Individual hearts, individual people, and the Lord said, I want you to come to me. In whatever way that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, I want you to come to me. You know, he said, be zealous therefore and repent. You know, but I thought, here's another thing. If you go back a little more than a year, you look at what's happened globally. Has the world changed? Not only has it changed, it has affected every person in every country in some way or another. Whether your take on it is different from the next guy, I tell you what, it's affected society and it's affected the whole globe. Now, but here's the thing, though. It's not God trying to rid the world of sickness. Because you know what? I don't care what disease you conquer. What causes that disease is still here, and it's called sin. It is sin. You could rid the world of every disease, and just because of what's in mankind, something else would come out. Because I tell you, the true healer is Jesus Christ. And the true healing is, you know, well, the Lord can touch our bodies here while we're here. But even Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, died again. But there's coming a day where there'll be no more death. No more pain. There will be no disease in heaven. There'll be no COVID-19 in heaven. No pneumonia. No flu. No cancer. God is good. And God has the power today. Here's the main thing the Lord's after, is changing people's lives. Changing hearts to where they're yielded to him and looking to him, and where on a practical level they are yielding themselves to God. Does that make sense? I guess, you know, that was more my what I'd been thinking about. And you know, when you're in any assembly, I don't care if it's one of our assemblies or anywhere else in the world where you can say, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is in that assembly. You might go visit somewhere in Arizona and you go to the church and say, you know what, the Lord was in that place. You know why? Because the Spirit of the Lord immediately stands out to someone else who has the Spirit in them. And they just know, that Lord is in that church. You know, but anywhere that is, you know, If you're in that church and you say nothing ever changes in this church, it could be a problem there. If you can go into a church and predict exactly how the service is going to go, and particularly if you could say, well, I believe he could do something different, but he ain't going to do it here. No, he is the same God. And does he not want to do a deeper work? I believe there is higher ground for us individually and collectively. And even the churches, I keep thinking about the churches that are associated with us. You don't have to have someone like Charles Spurgeon sitting somewhere on the front pew to get up and speak for you to be actively serving God and vibrant in what God calls you to do. He's called the church. And that was the thing about all those churches. He was speaking to the assemblies, but he's also speaking to the individuals within that corporate presence of Christ. And maybe I'll just read the first one, and I'm not going to be up here long, but where the first church was Ephesus, right? You remember Paul actually wrote to the Ephesians. So they didn't lack anything when it came to being founded on not only principles and doctrine. Jesus Christ had established that church. And you would think that any of these churches that God was speaking to surely would not go into a state of decline. But we all have that propensity, you know. And that's the reason for us seeking our God and looking to him from our heart. He loves us. He wants us to know how much he wants to commune with us. But when each individual member is doing that, what happens is it has an effect on the collective. And when you come in here to a service, it's not just, well, this one guy's going to do this and this one guy's going to do that. Every joint supplies. Every part does its work. And the person that's speaking is affected by the person that may never speak. Because that's the way the body works. You know, even the Lord gives, like when he created the body, he didn't just give one leg, he gave two legs. Can you imagine hopping around on one leg? It'd be a little difficult, and you sure have a hard time running. But you know, the Lord, he has everything situated the way he wants it, and it works according to the way he created it. And it works that way within a church, and that's why when the body is healthy and each member is healthy, God himself moves in that congregation. Because each member is equally important. Okay. I'm going to read this briefly. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in the right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, and this is what he says, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. You know, the word does say, if you don't grow weary in well-doing, for you'll reap if you faint not. And he was even saying, you know what? You haven't grown weary. But then he says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. I think the Amplified Version says, the depth of your love is not as much. The Lord wants us to be in a really tight communion and relationship with him. Amen. That was the need in that church. Even though they had a lot of their stuff right, they weren't really walking with God. And I don't want to say this in a negative way, because I believe the Lord is helping each one of us to see that. Do you see a greater need in your life? Amen. Do you see a need to get a hold of God? I shared this with the men, and I'm going to share this and I'm going to be done. But, you know, I had gone out to pray, and a lot of times I've said this before, but a lot of times I'll be distracted, and I might have a tough time starting to pray or even entering into prayer. You know what it says, though? What was it? Paul said this about singing in prayer. He said about singing, I was singing with the spirit and the understanding also. He did not say I was singing with the spirit, the understanding, and the feeling also, or even in prayer. I will not pray by my feelings and the spirit and the understanding. I will pray with the spirit and the understanding also. I was just aware that he said, well, then, you know, I know this has been said, that you can praise the Lord for, you know, you can't praise the Lord for 3 or 5 minutes and not be set free. I will be the first to tell you that it does not work for me. I'm just going to be honest with you. The Lord, I tell you what, if he puts his finger on you and he puts you where he hems you in, you may not be able to sing for 3 months and be free. If that's where God's got you to get your attention, right? I'm just saying that. And no matter what I did, I was having a tough time entering in and getting past the distractions to seek the Lord. And I just said this, Lord, I don't know all about prayer, but I know that I'm not necessarily praying with the spirit and the understanding also. But I kept talking to him. Yeah. You know, Lord wants us to keep talking to him. He said, pray and keep on praying. He is not hindered by your inability or your weakness or your lack of maturity. He is God. And when you said to pray and to not faint, that's what he means. Pray and don't give up. Keep looking to me. There is a real secret in seeking God right where you're at, personally, each individual heart here, to call upon God so the church moves forward in the way that he would have it move forward. Do we not need the Lord? But I'll just say this. I know I'd probably been out there an hour, and I can tell you exactly where I was at. I could show you where I was at. I was walking around this one little turn in the trail, and this is what came to me. Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And I know the Lord gave me that verse. You know, a brother got up here Wednesday night, a few Wednesday nights, and the Lord has spoken to him through the Word. The Lord speaks to us through his Word. But you know what encouraged me? The Lord said, you know, I just want your heart. That's all. You give me your heart and serve me with your heart and look to me, and I'll give you what you need. But you know what? He made us to be able to communicate with each other and to communicate with him. He spoke to Moses like his friend, to Abraham, to Noah. He gave those men instruction. And I'll tell you what, we're in the new covenant. And this is not for a select group of men. This is for every member of the body of Christ. It says the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. You can be the tiniest sheep. You can be the run of the litter, whatever you want to call it, walking around, half your wool falling off. But you know what? If Jesus is your shepherd, you can hear his voice. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but I am thankful that the Lord's in the business of getting our attention. If it does mean pushing a pause button, you know, back to what we're doing, you know, what we're facing even globally. We don't know what we're going to face even with this thing, but God knows. Amen. And has God changed? You can't stay the hand of God. He is a great God, and he wants to lead us every step of the way. That's part of us giving up our life. We actually give up our way. On a practical level, we're saying, Lord, lead me. Lord, lead each one of us. Lead us as a church, but also lead us as individuals. Is that right? So that in a collective, practical application, we see the body move in the direction he wants it to move. That's all I have. I hope that somebody got something out of this. I believe the Lord loves us. He loves us unconditionally. But there's also the condition of repentance. You know, where we actually bring, part of repentance is, it's just like Brother Stephen said, it's just recognizing, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need you. Has he ever turned away from anybody who recognizes any need in their life, whether it's a lack of prayer, a lack of fellowship, whatever the lack is, the provision is found in Jesus Christ and just laying down at his feet or kneeling and saying, Lord, help me. He is there right there. He doesn't grade you on a curve. It's just you come to me and I'm going to help you. You come to me and give your life to me and I'm going to set you free. And follow on to know me better so that in a practical level you can serve me. And you know what? You're going to love me even better. And you're going to find out the depth of my love for you. That's a wonderful Lord. He's the one that starts this work and he is the one who finishes it. Him alone. Him alone, in him alone is salvation, and it's a daily salvation. It's a daily work. Amen. And he's called each one of us to a relationship with him. Amen. And as we go along in the future, we need that. Amen. We need it no matter what generation we were born into or no matter what location. Jesus Christ is our provision. Amen? Amen. No.